What little word has the theologians in Rome choking? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind is next. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Renewing Your Mind with author and theologian Dr. R.C. Sproul. Let's have a little Bible arithmetic. What plus faith equals justification? In the process of time, the Church of Rome turned the simple message of the gospel into a complex problem. Good works were added to faith as a means of salvation, but the illegitimate addendum didn't remain unnoticed. A 16th century German monk named Martin Luther challenged that teaching by offering a lone word to the equation that the theologians in Rome found hard to swallow. Today, as we continue our Evangelism According to Jesus conference series, Dr. Sproul will remind us of the perils of offering the wrong gospel to people in our evangelism. Here now is our teacher with today's teaching, Sola Fide.
I want to turn your attention now to Paul's letter to the Galatians, to the first chapter where Paul writes, "I marvel, I'm amazed that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be damned." As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be anathema. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Later on in chapter 2, he adds these words, "When I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.'" It was said of Martin Luther that in his act of nailing the 95 Theses to the church door at Wittenberg, written in Latin and not for public consumption, but to be discussed behind closed door with the faculty of his colleagues there at the university, that unbeknownst to him and without his permission, some zealous students took copies of those theses, translated them into the vernacular, and within 2 weeks, his theses were made known in every village and hamlet in Germany. One scholar described it this way, that Luther was like a blind man who climbed the tower of the local church, the bell tower, and as he ascended the ladder and came near to the top, he lost his footing and started to fall. And he reached out, groping in the darkness, for anything to take hold of, and his hands grasped a rope. And when he held on to the rope, a bell rang that was heard around the world. In the 16th century, the Christian church saw the greatest schism and fragmentation in her history. And that which divided all of Christendom was not trifles like the role of the Virgin Mary, like the infallibility of the Pope, or even the authority of the councils and of tradition. But the material cause of the Reformation was the gospel. The essence of the gospel has to do with definite content that describes the person and the work of Christ. But in addition to that objective content of the gospel, there is also the critically important question of how the content of the person and work of Jesus is subjectively appropriated to the sinner. And so the New Testament declares that we lay hold of Christ by faith and by no other means. By faith and by faith alone. And when Paul writes to the Galatians and expresses his astonishment that these young Christians had moved away from the gospel so quickly, it's not that they moved away from their confidence in the perfect life of Jesus. It's not that they moved away to a heresy that denied his perfect humanity or his deity. It was not that they turned aside to a denial of the substitutionary satisfaction view of the atonement. It's not because they departed into the heresy that had infected the Corinthian church of denying the truth of the resurrection. This other gospel that threatened to bring the anathema of God upon these people was not a departure from orthodoxy about the person and work of Christ. It was a departure from the biblical teaching of how the benefits of the ministry of Jesus are appropriated to us. For some were saying that it is not by faith alone, but it's by faith plus something else. And it was that faith plus something else that stirred the soul of Martin Luther and gave him the courage to stand against the whole world, to defend it, because he knew that what was at stake was not some sterile, abstract, theological point of doctrine, but what was at stake was the gospel itself. Now, you've all heard that in the 16th century, Luther, speaking of the doctrine of justification by faith alone, said it, the doctrine of sola fide, is the article upon which the church stands or falls. Perhaps it's not as well known that Luther added these words. He said, the doctrine of justification by faith alone is not only the article upon which the church stands or falls, but it is the head and the cornerstone of the gospel. Luther said, without sola fide, the church cannot exist for 1 hour. Without the doctrine of justification by faith alone, we dwell in darkness, and God is not known. Calvin said, justification by faith alone is the hinge upon which everything turns. Early Packer used the metaphor of the Titan Atlas And he said, justification by faith alone is like Atlas. If Atlas shrugs, the whole truth of God crashes to the ground. Is this hyperbole? Is this zeal in the lips of these theologians who overstate the importance of a theological issue that maybe in the final analysis was merely a tempest in a teapot? I've heard that said by evangelical leaders in the last 15 years, that it was a tempest in a teapot. Much ado about nothing. Because in the final analysis, we all really believe the same thing. Luther didn't believe the same thing. I don't believe the same thing. And Paul certainly didn't believe the same thing. And do you hear? He says it twice. If anybody, I don't care who it is, if anybody, if it's Peter, if it's Barnabas, if it's the Apostle John, teaches you any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be cursed. Let me say it again. If anybody preaches any other gospel to you, even if it's an angel from heaven, take that angel and kick him in the seat of his ethereal pants. Let him be damned. Talk about being politically incorrect. But I had studied this thing about Paul's letter to the Galatians so many times. But you know, I always stopped reading after the anathema at verse 9. Didn't connect it to verse 10. Listen to verse 10. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Did you feel the tension of what Paul is saying there? Do you think Paul loved controversy? Do you think Paul loved dissension in the church? Do you think Paul enjoyed theological disputes that tore the churches apart? Not if you know him at all. But at a certain point, he had to ask himself this question. Who am I trying to please here? And Paul realized, he said, If I'm going to be a man pleaser, I can't be a slave of Jesus. When I was involved in this controversy in its most heated period so many years ago, I'd lost friend after friend after friend. Ligonier Ministries had lost over $1 million in support. I was walking through the parking lot of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale. I thought about Melanchthon when, after the Reformation and after Luther died and people would become discouraged in the midst of the battle, Melanchthon would say to his colleagues, sing the 46th. Really? They all knew what he meant. He was asking them to sing the song that Luther wrote based on Psalm 46, a mighty fortress is our God. And I started thinking about that hymn. And in my memory, I got to the last verse. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also. Those words were penned from the hand of a man who was tortured for his loyalty to one gospel. Luther understood that the righteousness of God that Paul writes in Romans 1 was not that righteousness by which God himself is righteous, but that righteousness which God makes available freely to all who believe. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. You don't get the benefits by faith plus works. By grace plus merit. By your efforts plus Christ's. But the word upon which Rome choked and choked to death was the German word allein, alone. It's by faith alone. By grace alone. By Christ alone. Anything else is another gospel, which is not another gospel. There is only one gospel, which is the head and foundation of the church, without which the church cannot last for a single hour, without which you cannot last for the judgment seat of God for a single second. Here's the good news. Before righteousness inheres in me, the very second I put my trust in Christ and in Christ alone, despair of my works ever adding anything to my justification. They add to my sanctification, but to my justification they add nothing. The very second I have real faith, all that Christ is, all that Christ has accomplished becomes mine at that second. And so I am pronounced just right now. And all of my sins, past or future, are remitted. They go away. They're in remission. They're no longer fatal to me. The minute I put my trust in Christ, my place in heaven is guaranteed. Let me close with this. Many years ago, back in the 80s, we had a 10-year program among evangelical scholars affirming the inerrancy of the Bible. And one prominent seminary that had been historically evangelical and had as part of their doctrinal statement an affirmation of inerrancy, and they decided to remove that statement. And they asked me, as a representative, as the president of the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy, to come and address their faculty on this issue. And after the meeting was over, the dean of the faculty of that school, who was a longtime friend of mine, walked me to my car. And he said, "R.C., apart from the theological disputes and consideration here, why is this so important to you?" And I looked at him like he was crazy. I said, "You know," and I'm not going to tell you his name, but I said, "Blank, if I, like you, gave up the doctrine of the inerrancy of Scripture, I'd do it with tears. Not with glee and delight like you guys do." And I said, "I'll tell you what. You take this away from me, you take away my life. The only place I know that I find truth for sure is in His Word, every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God." I said, "You guys want to have your cake and eat it too. You go in there and you make nonsensical statements like, 'This is the errant Word of God.'" "What? The Word of God that errs? If it errs, it's not the Word of God. And if it's the Word of God, it doesn't err. Now, I only mention that to say that was a parallel experience to my life with what Luther was about. You know, Pope Leo said when he heard about this, he's just a drunken monk who, when he's sober, he'll get over this. But Luther seemed the most streperous monk in the history of the world. He wasn't going to back down. He goes to the Diet of Worms and he says, unless I'm convinced by sacred scripture, by heavenly reason, I will not recant, for my conscience is held captive by the word of God. And to act against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Why would he do that? He said, because without the gospel of justification by faith alone, I can't exist for a single hour. Take away justification by faith alone, you take away Christ. And you take away Christ, you take away the gospel. And Luther said the gospel has to be contended for in every generation, and any time it's preached clearly and boldly, it produces conflict, but people would rather flee than fight. And they'll compromise. They'll negotiate. When you do that, you're pleasing men. And you are not a bondservant of Christ. There's never been a time, even since the 16th century, where it has been more important for Christians to say together, here we stand. There is no other gospel. God help us.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Right now, we'd like to tell you about a gift you can receive for a donation of any amount. It's a 6-part DVD series entitled, The God We Worship. In this intriguing study, Dr. R.C. Sproul helps us understand God's character traits as they're revealed by his various titles found in the Old Testament. What do you know about God's name, Yahweh, or the titles Adonai, El Shaddai, or Elohim? These are more than Hebrew names and titles. They all teach us something about the God we worship. We hope you'll take advantage of this special offer. Again, the DVD series, The God We Worship, is available to you for a donation of any amount. Call now. Our resource consultants are available Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343. Or you can go online at rymoffer.com. That's R-Y-M as in renewing your mind, and the word offer.com. Again, that's rymoffer.com. That web address is for today's special offer only. In today's message, Sola Fide, Dr. Sproul reminded us of the need to proclaim the biblical doctrine of justification by faith alone, no matter what the cost. This message was recorded at the Ligonier Ministries 2008 National Conference. The theme for that gathering was Evangelism According to Jesus. Dr. Sproul, along with other Christian teachers, pastors, and leaders, including Sinclair Ferguson, Stephen J. Lawson, John MacArthur, C.J. Mahaney, R.C. Sproul Jr., and Johnny Erickson Tada, remind us of the great truths of the gospel and help us evangelize more effectively. Too often the church has failed to preach the biblical gospel, and therefore in our evangelistic efforts, we've introduced people to the wrong Jesus. Believers again need to realize the importance of preaching no other gospel than the one delivered by our Lord and His apostles. This is by no means a how-to series. Rather, the Evangelism According to Jesus series is designed to ensure we tell the world about the real Jesus and His saving power. If you'd like to purchase the Evangelism According to Jesus Conference Series, it's available on 14 CDs for $52. The series normally retails for $65. You can order by using our toll-free number, 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343. You can also log on to our website at ligonier.org. That's ligonier.org. That's all the time we have for this edition of Renewing Your Mind. Thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Sproul tells us of the benefits of our justification. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul.